Om Shanti, everyone. Our most respected Jayanti Didi, I take great pleasure and honor in welcoming you to be with us this evening. And it was with great love I know you will share with us. For most of us here, or all of us, we are quite close to Didi, Jayanti, but more so for the new ones. Didi Jayanti is the joint administrative head of the Brahma Kumaris presently, as well as the RC for UK, Europe, and the Middle East. She has been the spokesperson for external affairs, talks throughout India, as well as internationally, and has been one who has great love and humility. Her royalty, when I see her, I feel her like an angel. Don't you feel so? Let's wave to Didi as a welcome. She has been a source of great inspiration for our spiritual growth and sustenance. And I'm sure all of you would have experienced this. So Didi Jayanti, we welcome you on the topic today, which is most needed by all of us. One strength, one support in these challenging times. Thank you very much. Looking forward. And your flower is a jasmine. Thank you.
Om Shanti. It's wonderful that so many have decided to come to Madhuban this year. It's been gradually growing after COVID. Last year there was a few less, and the year before, very few, and it was still COVID times, and we didn't know whether to go or not. But this year, I think all that is clear, and everybody decided to make it to Madhuban. So I'm very happy that you're all here. This expression, one strength, one support, is an expression that Didi Manmohini used to use a lot. Ek bal, ek bharosa. And when Didi Manmohini shared with me her personal story of transformation, how from being in a family that had ginormous wealth, she was married into a family which also was equally the same. And it was an arranged marriage when she was very young, and then she went to live with her in-laws when she was in her teens. The marriage had been just a marriage of agreement by the parents of both the boy and the girl, so very young, but then actually going to her in-laws' home, and then just seeing Baba and transformation immediately, and she renounced everything like this. No second thought, and her Laukik name was Gopi, and she became really the first Gopi, falling in love with God, falling in love with Krishna. She didn't know at that time they were different, but anyway, it happened. And not only did she come, but she brought along three members of her immediate family and three members of two other members of her immediate family, so three of them came, and then her uncle, his family, three people there also came. So six people surrendered very quickly, and because it was such prominent families, it created a big stir. So you can imagine she must have gone through 1,000 things. And if I tell you that she told me her story of why it is she was allowed to learn to read and write. That's it. No further education. Just reading and writing, basic. And she said, they taught me that so that I could write to my husband when he traveled, and they all traveled at that time for business. Secondly, so that I would be able to keep a household budget. And thirdly, so that I could keep the laundry list. Now, that's a little cameo a little snapshot of what life was like. And so no education to draw upon. If something happened and if she had to fend for herself, what was she going to do? But of course she didn't have those thoughts. She saw Baba, fell in love and surrendered immediately and brought others with herself to surrender. And of course all of them very powerful individuals. Now that is really one strength, one support. And I'm not saying that you leave behind your wives or your husbands and your children and come and stay in the ashram. That's not the purpose of saying all this. But really, it just gives you an indication of how, even though externally there may be nothing at all that you can rely on, when you know Shiv Baba and you rely on Baba, then you feel you can achieve everything, absolutely everything. There's a lovely statement that somebody had on their signature on emails for some time. I don't know whether she still has it, but certainly it used to be there. And it was a statement from Dadi Janki, and the sister had picked up on that. And the statement went something like this: when a bird sits on a twig or a branch, it doesn't rely on the strength of the branch, that the branch isn't going to break. It knows that it has wings with which to fly, and so it trusts its wings. And where do those wings come from in terms of souls who surrender to Baba? It's from one above. And that gives you empowerment. And so when people talk about empowerment, that is the strength that Baba is able to give you. You don't have to rely on anyone else. You don't have to wait for anyone else. You don't have to depend on anyone else. You have been given the wings with which to fly by Baba. So that's what one strength, one support is about, to be able to have that inner experience and confidence and total faith that yes, at all times Baba is with me and Baba is there for me. But of course it has to be reciprocal. I have to be there for Baba. I have to be available to Baba. And then, yes, Baba's already said, you are mine. I say to Baba, Baba, I am yours. And Baba says, yes, I accept you. You are mine. And in that awareness then, next step is, not only do I belong to you, but I know that if I follow Srimat, you're there to look after me at all times. And so Baba's saying, I'm there for you. And I'm sure if you look back on your life, A, before Gyan, and B, after Gyan, you see yourselves in different situations in which you really didn't know what to do, you didn't know what was going to happen, and everything suddenly became clear, and you were able to move forward and move ahead, and nothing stopped you. How did that happen? Someone up there was pulling some strings and making it happen. And so yes, surely it is an experience that we all have. And we forget it. That's the problem. From time to time we forget those experiences, and then again we're caught up by questions and confusion and maybe, maybe not. It's very important to write down those experiences. And when you find yourself going through even a little bit of a low, you bring yourself back to that high point by reading what you yourself have written about your experience. So when things are going well, sit and write. And when things are not going so well, sit and read. Because at that moment you might not be able to automatically emerge it. If you sit for a while with Baba, it will come back. But if you've written it down, that's even better. Why is it that this is more important today than it was 50 years ago or even 10 years ago. It's because we are seeing that the end times are really now very, very close. No predictions about how long, I don't know. Baba didn't tell us. But for sure, we can see that things are very quickly coming to the edge. Who feels that? I definitely feel it. And A, it's because of climate change. When I first started attending UN conferences, I used to think, I'm so glad I've got into this only after coming to Baba. Because most of the time, the stories that the UN has are not stories of success. Maybe once in a while there might be something, but most of the time, when they talk about the state of the world, it's bad news. And the news gets better? Definitely not. Does the news get worse? I think so. And sometimes I think, well, how can it be any more worse than it is already? Like Baba says, you know, they say that Kaliyug still has 40,000 years to go. Well, how much more sorrow can there be? Well, I'm looking at the situation today and asking myself the same question. Again, whether it's climate change or whether it's the wars that we know about so in such graphic detail. And it's very close to home for people in Europe. It's right on one doorstep is one war, in another doorstep it's another war. And so it's like UK, Europe is right at the edge of both wars. And so given that, but also looking at the fact that we only have one daddy left and all the others are now serving through the angelic form. And I know that they are serving because we see amazing things happen that we couldn't have anticipated. A BK becoming a president of a country, especially a country as big as India with a population as big as India, well, it happened. And it happened after all the daddies had flown away. So I'm sure that the advanced party is growing very fast. Every week I get news from London about somebody's departure and within the Brahmin family. And it's happening nearly every week. A few times, it's happened 2 times in a week. And so we had Jemini Ben go off for one funeral. We had Mani Ben go off from India for another funeral. And now there's somebody else. And actually, some of you know him, Govind Pai of London. He was in Hong Kong in the early days and helped establish the center there. Who knew Dadi Savitri, Govind Pai, and that whole family? Some of you. Well, his parents played a major role in the Yagya in the 50s because after partition and then coming to India, they were the first family who came to Baba from that community. So it was a big shock for the community again, but they became the example of a lotus-like life. And so that changed many people's hearts about what was happening. Not a breakup of families, but really living in the family. And Dada Ram was the first person to manage the Madhuban Museum. The museum still is going strong and has done amazing service through the last 50 years. But he was the first manager there. And Dadi Savitri was in charge of London started, and a few months later, Hong Kong started in 71, Hong Kong 72. And it was Dadi Savitri who was the first teacher there. So, very powerful family background. Mama stayed in their home. Dadi Gulzar stayed in their home for a long stretch of time. So you can see it was a powerful family. And Dada Govind has been one of the trustees in London since the beginning of Baba's work. And so he flew away just yesterday. As I say, every day, someone, someone, someone. So the advanced party is getting bigger and bigger. And it's not going to stop. It's going to get even bigger. So seeing what's happening within the yajna in that context also makes me feel that time is very, very short. The quality of service in Bharat especially, again, good reminder that most people in Bharat have heard about Baba in some form or another. They might not be Brahmins, but they're not all going to be Brahmins anyway, but they've heard Brahma Kumaris. They might not know Shiv Baba, but they know Om Shanti. So the signals are all there. And why I need that one connection and strength and support from one is because all the supports that we had are all being taken away from us. We had Brahma Baba, the Dadis had Mama, and that support went. And it was a big challenge for them because they'd grown up with Mama, grown up as almost, you know, very young adults or teenagers, and they grew up with Mama literally as the mother and also in Gyan together with Mama. Mama left and then Baba left and then Dadiji left, in between Didi left, and Dadi Janki left, and when Dadi Gulzar left, Brijmumbai said at the ceremony of the funeral that it's the end of an era. And what he meant was not just that Dadi had gone, but that the avyakt role had come to an end. And people after that were asking, is somebody else going to play the part of messenger and so on? And nobody could see anyone who could actually fit that role. And also, the memorial in Bhakti is of the big bull and the little one, the little chariot. And so, both have played their part, the big bull and the little chariot. And so there's never been a third one mentioned in Bhakti. But when he actually stated those words, it left a deep impact in my heart that yes, truly, it is the end of an era. But Baba's work has continued. COVID came and there was no one here. And it was a surprise. I was here after Daddy's departure, partly because I needed to be here, but also partly COVID. And so again, it was strange seeing only 40 people being allowed in Dadiji's meeting room to come together for Murali, and everybody else being told, sit in your rooms and listen on the loudspeakers. And even when we started to use the big hall, we were told only 100. So things that were totally unexpected were happening, and certainly no one coming in. And the people who were here and needed to get back home, they had to hire a train. A little bit of movement was happening to go back, but there was a big group from Hyderabad in that area, Andhra Pradesh. And when it was harvest time, they were here since March. And then around April, May, it was harvest time, and their families wanted them back. And they kept getting calls, but how to get back? Then Baba managed to hire a whole train that could take them back. And so, strange things happening. But really, truly, every support that we have had has been taken away. The final support that we have is webcast and all the devices that we have to be able to hear Murali online. Wait for it. what's going to happen? It's going to go. But we have all our muralis at home. We have them in many different forms. But more than that, we have Baba's Gyan here. And that's what's going to help us at that moment. So at this moment, truly, we're moving very quickly to the point where one strength, one support. And I'm going to be able to use that support if today I've practiced detachment. And detachment is not a nice word. Nobody likes that word. But it's very meaningful. But I mustn't use that word with my lokiks. I mustn't tell them that, oh, I have to be detached from you. They'll not be very happy about it. But also, the first step of detachment is not the subject of detachment from people around me. The first step of detachment is my detachment from this, from my own skin. Because the thing I'm most attached to, more than my attachment to or my relations, is actually this. Because I've got so used to having this for half the cycle. I've had different relationships with different souls, but probably not more than one or two births long. I don't think that relationships last through many, many births, maybe within the same sphere or circle. But certainly I've had a body and I've been attached to my body for thousands of years. And that attachment is what I need to break. All the muralis since January, I've just been watching and I'm amazed that I hadn't noticed it before. That for months, Baba's been talking about the practice of soul consciousness, the practice of detachment from the body, the practice of being able to step away and just connect with one. Can you count the number of muralis we've had since January? Well, actually, if you just count the number of days, that's the number of muralis we've had this topic. Baba has been absolutely focused on this one topic. It used to come in other muralis also before this, but never in this consistent way that has been happening since January. And so, to what extent am I able to keep that practice? And maybe here in Madhuban, to a greater extent than when I'm out there. But yet still, can I deeply imbibe this so that I'm able to be aware of who I am more and more and more? And being aware of that inner being, the soul, means that I have easy access to my own original qualities. So definitely there's a big improvement in my dharana. Usually you can tell from the tone of voice if somebody is soul conscious or not. Certainly you can tell it for yourself, but you can tell it for anyone else, doesn't matter. But you can tell it for yourself. I said something. Was I soul conscious? And my tone of voice would tell me whether I was or wasn't. But because it is so slippery, even though it's so easy, I just need to keep reminding myself. And traffic control is one way to remind yourself. Every time there's traffic control, just experiment and see. What percentage of the time was I soul conscious? And if it's practically not at all, it's okay. Let me pay attention now and just keep improving my attention on this one subject. At one point Baba had said in a Sakar Murli that it's easy to become one of the 108, one of the victorious jewels, just simply by practicing soul consciousness. Because of course that then leads to all the other changes that we need to make. But everything changes just simply through this one practice. And if I am soul conscious, then of course I can feel Baba's presence, I can feel Baba's strength, I can feel Baba's support. If I'm not soul conscious, then I'm saying, well, when I need you the most, you're not around. But it's me. I have tuned away from God to something else, to this and everything here. But when I'm soul conscious, I can tune in to God and I can feel that strength and support. And because I see all other supports falling away, let me ask myself the question, what is it that's supporting me now? Madhuban. I think Madhuban's a huge, huge support. But also, there'll come a time when, again, we won't be able to come to Madhuban, whether we want to or don't. It won't be possible. So while we have Madhuban, I take benefit from it. I take advantage of that and benefit from it. But gradually, I have to be able to keep my connection with Baba strong wherever it is I am. I used to be very, very attached to Madhuban. Very attached. And at one point, early on, Daddy and I had a conversation. And I don't know how it had come about, but the subject was, where would I be or want to be at the end time? And my reply instantly was Madhuban. I want to be in Madhuban for the final moments. And Daddy wasn't very happy with my answer. At first she didn't say anything, but I could feel it. And then I said to her, Daddy, don't you have the thought that you want to be in Madhuban at the final moment? And she said, I'm surrendered to Baba. So wherever it is, Baba keeps me. I don't mind. And so she wasn't about to say, yes, I want to be in Madhuban. Then she said to me, what if you're not in Madhuban and you're somewhere else and you're not able to connect to Baba because you're remembering a physical place. You're not remembering Baba at that moment. And so that planted a very deep seed in my head. And yes, I love Madhuban, but I think now I understand what Daddy was saying, that you have to be connected more with Baba than with a particular place, even Madhuban. And so I could see that for 4 years that Daddy was there without coming to Madhuban, it was this awareness she had, just simply the connection with one. She was able to manage without even coming at that time. But she would say to me, when I asked her, Daddy, do you have a message that I could give Baba for you? And she looked at me and said, Baba listens to me. I wanted an excuse to say something to Baba. But Daddy didn't give me that chance. And then when I'd be taking leave from Baba, and that was amazing, we came and said hello to Baba. When we left, we said goodbye to Baba. And in between, we had a special meeting with Baba. So we've been really spoiled. So when it was time to say goodbye to Baba, I'd again ask Baba, Baba, do you have a message for Daddy? And Baba would say, I meet her every day. And so again, important lesson for me. Messages are one thing, but just meet Baba every day in the subtle region. And have you seen that picture of Yogi in Bliss? It's an old picture, it's been around since the 70s. It shows a little figure seated on the floor, little plaid white sari. and connected with Baba, and all the rays from Baba reaching not only that person but all around. So a person who at that time used to come to the London Centre, and Daddy would sit right in front of Baba, and he would be sitting at the back. And he wasn't an artist, but the experience he had was what he then put across in that picture, Yogi in Bliss. Those rays coming and those rays emanating and moving out into the world. And so can I have a connection with Baba like that, so that I'm taking support and strength from one, and that is allowed. I don't have to be free from dependency on God, because Rama is going to make me that anyway. When I come in Satyug, it's not going to be with Baba. It's going to be with Brahma Baba, but not Shiv Baba. And the connection and the powerhouse is absolutely with Shiv Baba. And so at that moment when I'm connected with Baba, it's not only strength for me, but it's also of value to everybody else around me. Fear is infectious, and if one person has fear, very quickly the ripple of fear spreads around. And 20 people, 50 people, everybody gets afraid. But when there's somebody who's very calm and stable, and you know it's really solid, it's not just pretense, it's for real, then the wave of calm and peace spreads around everybody else also. That's what the Dadis did. That's what Bab Dada demonstrated to us. People coughing and fidgeting and talking. And Dadi Gulzar would enter the hall and things would become settled. But then, when Baba would come, absolute silence and stillness. The coughs disappeared. I don't know where they went, but there certainly was no sound. So Baba's presence and 25,000 people become silent. How many have had that experience? Everyone who's been to Madhuban for Baba's meetings pre-2017 and 2017 have had that experience. Who hasn't had that experience of being in front of Baba when Baba actually comes? A few, very few. Okay. But I'm sure that tomorrow when it's even the video that's being played, somehow the magic is that you do feel Baba's presence. But certainly at that time, it used to be very dramatic, because October to March and winter time, lots of coughs and colds and everything, just silent. So if Baba's giving me the blessing of being like the Father, and that's the blessing Baba's giving all of us, then can I practice that? Can I, in a moment, go inside? In a moment, connect with one? And in a moment, be so absorbed in Baba's light and love that everything just simply radiates out? It's possible to experiment with this and experience it and practice it. But I need to practice it. And so if I practice that today, then I know that when things are chaotic and everybody's scared, I can invoke Baba and allow Baba to be present where I am, so that then everybody else also benefits. And of course, one strength, think about all the different powers and how if I'm connected with one, then at that crucial moment when I have to make a decision, what do I do? There's no time to phone anyone, probably phone networks will be down at that point. So the only way I can manage at that moment is connecting, just wireless connecting with one. And am I clear enough in my mind and my heart to understand what the signal is from Baba? Because how do I know? Is it my mind? Is it my sanskaras? Is it somebody else's thought that I'm picking up? Again, if I've tuned myself to be able to connect with Baba and feel Baba's presence, then at that moment when I connect, I know really I'm connecting with one. It's not my mind or sanskaras that are speaking. It's not the influence of others around me. It's truly coming from one. And the decision that I make will be not only for myself then, but it will be for everyone who's around me. If I'm at work, it'll be for all those people who I work with. If it's at home, it'll be for everyone in my family, maybe everyone in the apartment block in which I live, or my neighbors if I live in a house. But it'll depend on me to make that connection. They don't know God. They don't know how to connect with God. They don't know the soul. Maybe I've even tried to tell them, but it hasn't happened. It hasn't worked. But at that moment, I'll know what it feels like to connect with Baba. I'll know what it feels like to be up above and detached and be able to understand what Baba is trying to tell me. And I'll move accordingly. The story of the Twin Towers and Ram Prakash, you've heard that story. And if you haven't, I'm sure it's there on YouTube for you to find. For the story of one person connected with Baba and about 60 others being saved. And they witnessed the tower coming down, the second tower. The first tower, no signals, nothing, just went. But this guy happened to be a BK in the second tower. And there was that moment of decision. Shall we attempt to come out or do we stay put? Which is what the Tannoy was saying. The Tannoy kept saying, stay where you are, stay quiet, stay calm, stay where you are. And he stood up and said, I think I have to go down. If anyone wants to come with me, they're welcome. So that's the sort of essence of that story. But do I have that confidence in my own relationship with Baba? I can experiment today and see how strong that link is and how, if I follow that signal that's coming, what is the result? And yes, I can be misled. And I could be just listening to my mind or my sanskaras or to other people. But if I'm really concerned and intent on developing this clear line of communication with God, it'll happen. Whenever there's a pure thought for something, Baba makes it happen. And that applies to personal effort as well as whatever we do in terms of service. One strength, one is the power to discern and to decide. The other is the power to cooperate. At that moment, who is around me? Maybe I've developed the vision of brotherhood that Baba's asked me to do from many, many years on. And if at that moment I feel, yes, each one my brother, so I can support them and they can support me in whatever it is that needs to happen. I don't know who they are. Maybe I know them, maybe I don't. And I don't know whether they can have the capacity to do something or not. But just simply, they're here, we're in this together. Can we work together and shift things and do whatever is needed at that time. Because if I say to Baba, Baba, I want to do service with this one, Baba will say, well, that's your plan. Now let's see what drama says. And for sure that support is going to go away. But if I say to Baba, Baba, when there's yoga with you, there's sayog, cooperation from whoever is around. And Baba will say, fine, I'll make sure there are some people around who'll be there to cooperate with you. And so cooperation coming in different ways that we don't know about, from different people that we had never imagined cooperation would come from. These are just two of the powers. Maybe in that final period, I'm going to be challenged about truth. Will I have the courage and the faith to stand up and say, yes, I understand what's going on, and I know that it's part of God's plan, and it's all going to be okay. I don't have the courage to say that now, not in front of strangers, because they don't know Baba, and it's not yet the right time. But I know that when I can see that things are at that point where it's now soon time to go home, can I be Baba's instrument and say, yes, this is God's plan, and yes, it is time to go home. So whichever one of the powers it is I wish to have, Baba will give me that power, that strength. If today I depend on many others, my intellect is scattered, Baba will watch and say, okay, I'm here whenever you're ready. You can get on with whatever it is you want to do. But when Baba sees I'm letting go and I'm ready to let go of other supports, it's not physical. It's not that you say to Baba, okay, I'm ready to let go, I'm going to go off and sit on a mountaintop. No. Baba's saying, do what you need to do. Why? Because Baba's purpose of coming here is to help me settle all my karma. Today's Murli, yesterday's Murli especially, the purpose of God's coming is to teach us how to die. The whole Murli, you know, as I was reading it yesterday, I was thinking, it's a preparation for dying. And some of us practice it, and some of us don't. And I need to practice this so that I can allow myself to be here and watch the body. And being here and watching the body is something that Dadi used to do, and that's how she actually lived to 104. Many here know of all the illnesses she went through. It was non-stop. One thing would finish and nothing would happen. But she always carried on with service. And she would practice being detached from the body and just giving the body God's light, God's sakash. And she told us at one point she'd been ill. And it was a gathering of the European teachers, actually, at that point. She was supposed to have been with us, and for 2 days she was out of action totally. And the next day, she comes into the gathering, and she says, Baba gave me a chance to experiment, and I'm going to tell you what that experiment was. And she spoke about her experiment of soul consciousness and how, yes, normally she practices it, but also not just in yoga, but also through the day. But this time she was practicing being out of the body and taking Baba's light and giving it to her body. And then she also told us about the stage which is called Vidhihi, bodiless. Not even Ashariri. Ashariri is the one without body that she was talking about, being detached and watching and giving the body light. But this stage you're saying was this word Vidhihi belongs to God. They describe God as being that. And if I can reach that stage of being in Paramdham in yoga, when I'm just the seed, and it's only God and myself, nothing else, and I'm feeling God sharing all his qualities with me and filling me with all those. And this practice is maybe for how long? Start with a minute, a few minutes within your yoga, and gradually increase it so that there's more and more time given to the seed stage experience. And so when she was sharing all this, it was like she was pulling us into that awareness too. And yesterday's Murali again was very much like that. The preparation to be away. And yes, when it's time to give Sakash here, give Sakash to whoever else needs it. But also, keep that state of detachment from this. And also, the next thing, the journey. The more I'm detached from this, the less I'm dependent on all the external things that I now say are essential. What are my needs and what are my wants? It's two very different things. And if I'm still saying, I want, I want, I want, I want, I'm never going to get to the point where one strength, one support, but detached from here and detached from all the things that I normally would say, this is important, this is important, but I realize it's not. And I can't be dependent. Coming from outside Bharat to Bharat, and especially when early days in Madhuban still is pretty simple, but it used to be even more simple. And it was a very good training for us to see to what extent we were detached from all the physical comforts that we normally have. And so, if the mattress is a bit hard, well, imagine when you don't have a mattress at all, how are you going to sleep? And I don't think Madhuban prepares us for this, that it's a training, but that's the norm, that's the standard here, so that's what we have. But you can see how there are so many things that we take for granted. And there's going to come a moment when whatever it is I'm most dependent on isn't available. And so now, can I simplify and can I say, that's okay. In soul consciousness, in a state of detachment, it's fine, it's okay. And then, as I experience this detachment, the relationship with family changes in the way that because I'm changing, I'm becoming sweeter, the negativity is being left out, all of it is being removed. I'm in a state in which others in my family know me and they see me as feeling, as being happy. Even though in other times they would have seen me getting upset with this thing, that thing and the other thing. Now they're seeing I'm stable and my peace and my happiness are with me under all circumstances. They're going through the same circumstances but they're unhappy and I'm not. So the relationship with all of them becomes a very sweet one. in which now they're taking something. They weren't ready to listen, but they can see a change. And I haven't said anything to them about detachment, but I've been practicing soul consciousness and seeing them as souls. And so the detachment from them also is still filled with that love and sweetness. And so it's nothing that they reject. It's okay. And so the rejection comes if I'm not following Baba's method accurately. It's something Baba talks about, that Baba teaches us step by step what we need to do. And if I'm not following those steps, I think I can go from here to there. One day I'm attached to my family, and next day I can tell them I'm going to be detached. It doesn't work. But I've gone through the process of inner detachment, detachment from other things, and then internally detached from them also, because I see them as Baba's children. I don't see them as my anything, but no, each one a child of God. And benefit for me, I'm then able to take the strength and support, but also benefit for them, because they see the change and benefit from that change. And then at some point, they'll start listening too. They won't start listening immediately, but they will later on. So, I think this one statement, one strength, one support is key to be able to prepare for whatever is to come sooner or later. Definitely, Satyug is coming, no question about it. Is there a question? No question. The dark has to go, the light has to come, Satyug has to come. But before that, we have to go home. And so, definitely, I need to prepare. And so, soul consciousness is the foundation to prepare for one strength and one support. And through that, really, to be lost in God's love. I take a little step forward, and immediately you feel the results. You can feel Baba's love reaching out to you. Take many steps forward, and you're surrounded by God's love. Enjoy being in Madhavan, feeling God's love, but carry that love with you. Om Shanti.